Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Just an unbelievable class act, Roberto Flores is.
Jonas is the biggest instigator snitch ever in the history of radio.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
That is correct, yeah.
Oh, you're going to throw Berto under the bus, but you was the biggest one.
Hold on.
Holy smokes. Well,
I threw the alley-oop. He doesn't have to dunk it so hard. All right? It's
literally.
Yeah, he did. He did.
I dunk it hard. That's what I do.
Yeah, he's a hard dunker.
It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are taking part in the program on the Wednesday, the Thanksgiving Eve here edition of the show. We appreciate you doing so. We'll take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific right here on Fox Sports Radio. So, lots of stuff going on. NFL conversation, college football conversation, and we've got ourselves a scapegoat. And that scapegoat is none other than Jason Garrett, who is out as offensive coordinator of the New York Giants. This on the heels of that awful-looking loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. Joe Judge saying the following, it's not a snap decision, but we have to make some moves to give our offense an opportunity to change some things up and ultimately score more points. So Jason Garrett, the scapegoat in New York, Brady Quinn, he is out as OC.
Out as OC, and I mean, look, I'm not sure he's going to be able to stop Daniel Jones or Freddie Kitchens, who takes over as play caller, I should say. We'll be able to stop Daniel Jones from turning over the football. He's been as bad as you could be in the NFL since he's gotten in the league. I'm not sure he's going to help the offensive line block better. A lot of those, the players that were brought in to kind of rebuild or retool this offensive line hasn't worked out quite the way they thought. Defense hasn't been as good as they would hoped it would have been this year. They really thought that was going to be the side of the ball that carried them. And so all those things I just mentioned have nothing to do with Jason Garrett. And, you know, the reality is when you go back and you watch this team on film, it's more of a lack of execution. And so you can have Freddie Kitchens in there, whoever you want. They can call whatever plays they want. It's not going to make a difference with the way this team is playing right now. You know, this has more to do to me either with something higher than Jason Garrett. That's their head coach. Never thought he was the right guy for the job, but he's still there. And I'll just say this. When you start seeing head coaches moving on from assistants and not just an assistant, a guy who's a former head coach, who's probably a confidant in some ways, but also an OC or anytime it's a defensive coordinator, they're feeling their seat is hot because it's not them that wants to make that change. It's ownership coming to them saying, you need to make a change or we're changing you. So this leads me to think that depending on how the rest of the season goes, it could be a little bit dicey for Joe Judge and really what the future holds for them. But I'll say this much, man. Last time Freddie Kitchens was in this position, he wound up getting a head coaching job.
Cleveland.
Out of it, so.
Yeah. Whoop-de hell.
Yeah. Is that Freddie Kitchens? All right. Yeah. Good to hear from Freddie.
I wonder what's next for Jason Garrett. You know, I know that the whole reshuffling and retreads is a thing in coaching, and you get that. But, you know, he had an unceremonious departure from Dallas. Now you don't even really get an opportunity to get your feet under you in New York. It just seems strange. You know, you've had some serious setbacks. Yeah, Saquon has had some real unfortunate injuries. There have just been, you know, an identity crisis with not only the offensive front, the defensive front, the really, if you really think about it, the entire team.
Right.
The New York Giants. And, you know, I agree. You're probably making this decision for self-preservation if you're Joe Judge. But the handwriting is on the wall. Daniel Jones, whether his own power, maybe it's a collaborative effort, he stinks. This team, they stink. And that's just not the standard that the ownership group, you know, lives by for the New York Giants. And so you're now faced with the biggest dilemma if you're Joe Judge, if you're Gettleman. You're faced with this dilemma of how do you preserve yourself in this seemingly unpreservable situation? And so now the question becomes, as this season lingers on and draws to an end, what will New York do? Because it's not a simple fix for them to just get rid of both of them and blow it up and start over. It's just not that simple.
I think Daniel Jones is gone after this year, and Joe Judge can play the whole, well, he wasn't my draft pick. This wasn't my draft pick. Whether Gettleman's gone as well too. Who
well,
knows?
Gettleman should if this Daniel Jones project and listen, Brady, you can, you know, take it from here, but when you made the decision to put that pick on Daniel Jones, you put your job, and that's most GMs. If you make that high of a pick on a quarterback and you pass up on other guys and you don't land on that pick, it generally means your job. I mean, that's just how it works. So if Daniel Right. Jones is a failure, then that means Dave Gettleman is a failure. And that if Daniel Jones is leaving, then chances are Gettleman has to go.
I don't know that you could just even look at Daniel Jones and make that. Look, I like Saquon. He's a dynamic player. Taking them number two overall, though, you know, even that's been debatable to some people out there. And let's look at that draft in general. Will Hernandez, the guard who they took in the second round, came out of Texas El Paso, out of UTEP. Good player. Maybe a little high to take him in that spot. You know, he was a guy who, you know, continued to develop over his time there, kind of a Mahler style type, but lacked technique, lacked some, you know, experience. And, you know, he was a guy who they expected big things out of.
He can throw some weight around, though, at the combine, couldn't he?
No, he can. And look, he's really strong. There's a lot of raw talent ability, but with where you drafted him, a little high. And he so far has never really developed into the player they truly, you know, need him to be. And so you can go through the years all you want. Look, Dave Gettleman has been with the Giants since, what, 2018,
yeah.
I think, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
Right? So if you go through and just – and granted, he's not necessarily responsible for all what's happening on the field, but they haven't had a winning season since David Gettleman has been there as their general manager. Mm. In fact, if you go back to – remember the Super Bowl season? Remember the 15-1 Carolina Panthers season,
yeah.
Right? And largely people would tell you that Marty Herney – who was the general manager before David Gettleman took over in Carolina, he was responsible for building that organization up. And then Gettleman inherited something where in 2013, they go 12-4. 2014, they're like 7-8-1 that year. And then they explode the following year, right? They go 15-1, go to Super Bowl, they lose. The Panthers, David Gettleman, they never, ever were able to rebound from that. If you look at Gettleman's track record from there, like they had that 11-5 season, I want to say back in 2017, but they were never able to get back to that. And since that Super Bowl season, that Super Bowl loss, at teams he's been a part of, meaning Carolina and the Giants, they're 35-55. That's what he's been a part of, essentially. One winning season, which was, I believe, his final year in Carolina. So I just, you know, I think when you're looking at how you go about constructing a winning roster and guiding an organization, you know, he's got to take fault for all this too. You could point the finger at Jason Garrett. He could be the fall guy, but there is a lot more into this. And David Gettleman's been there longer than anyone. And just, it hasn't worked out. So I assume he's going to be on his way out. But I think the whole Jason Garrett firing Freddie Kitchens now as OC, you know, and Kitchens is going to be aggressive now. Like, I don't know how many picks, Daniel Jones has thrown at this point in his career. I'll tell you this much. He's going to force him to put him in positions where he potentially throws some picks now. because they got nothing to lose. And that's how Freddie Kitchens operates.
And by the way, Jason Garrett, I would like to defend Jason Garrett. I think he's so underrated as a head coach, what he did in Dallas. He had one losing season his entire time there, and they were riddled with injuries. That's when Romo got hurt, and I think Matt Castle was the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And
Castle, Kellen Moore.
Yeah, and then I think Darren McFadden was his running back. Like they were a shell of what they were supposed to be with all the injuries that they suffered. And then he ends up going to New York. He gets fired in season. And it does feel like Jason Garrett, although you can look around the league and you can find a lot of guys, and he coached for a long time. He's 18 games over 500 as a head coach. It feels like the way that this all went down, him getting fired by the Giants, that's a wrap on him getting a head coaching opportunity again. That's where
I won't say it's a wrap.
I think
never
it
say
is.
Never. It'd be very NFL, different. Bro.
Yeah, because
never say never.
Retreads is retreads, man. And if you've had a level of success at one point, it's just like players. We can put him in a position to win. Like owners and decision makers, GMs, whoever it may be, they may feel confident about what he can do. Because it's ultimately about who you know and your ability to put together a coaching staff. You know, there's a lot that goes into being a head coach, and there's a lot of information that goes into that. And so once you get somebody who's achieved to that level and they've taken all of those you know, years of learning – you know, it has turned into a league where they're taking chances with younger guys, but in general, they take the guys who have gone from being basically quality control guys, which is like you started in the mailroom and you worked your way all the way up through the company, learning every aspect of what it takes to be a coach of a team.
Eric Spoelstra with the Heat. He was a video guy.
There you go. I mean, they have skill sets that are – It's more than just X's and O's.
Who do we think is going to be the starting quarterback for the Giants next year? Because there's some conversation. There are going to be some big-name quarterbacks potentially had. One of them...
Russell Wilson.
Yes. One of them in Seattle. And look, that has been out there before to where that market for him and his wife would both appeal to them.
Who told you that, huh?
Well, I think it was... I think it was Florio?
It would probably be the worst decision that Russell Wilson has ever
to
made.
To go to the Giants?
Yes.
Not if you're thinking about post-NFL career. I mean,
if you want to derail it. I mean, I get that you're paying attention to the market and what you can do in that market, but I played there. You go there as a free agent and you lose,
he ain't going to lose
there. Well, I don't know, man.
Here's what I'll
say
to you right
now.
There's talent on that roster. If you take away the turnovers – you can't tell me this team's not in a different position.
Go Hawks.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just saying, look at their losses this year.
Yeah.
Look at their losses this year. Tampa excluded. They lost to the Raiders by a score, the Chiefs by a score. You could go on, like, earlier looking through the Saints. They actually won that one. I mean,
take a chance. Why not?
The Falcons early on this season, the Washington football team. Why not?
If I'm Russ, I think too much of a risk.
Because here's what I wonder is it, do the Giants look at this and go, all right, what if we determine that Daniel Jones, with the turnovers that Brady pointed out and just the way that he's played, he's not the guy. We move on from Dave Gettleman. The first thing a GM is going to do, the guy that comes in, is try and get aggressive and fix the quarterback position. Russell Wilson can be had. I mean, you know, there's obviously the Deshaun Watson stuff, the Aaron Rodgers stuff is out there, but Russell Wilson can be had. If you're a brand new GM in New York and you want to get that media market and that fan base on your side, you got to swing the axe, man.
I mean, I will say this. It would be the perfect situation for Russ to try to pull off what Tom Brady did. But that team isn't as good as Tampa Bay.
No.
Not even close. So
I don't. They got some talent, though. Think about what he'd be throwing to.
I think they've got more on offense than Seattle does.
Yeah. I mean, I think Metcalf and Lockett are more proven. But they've got more depth there when you're looking at the addition of Tony. They've got Shepard. They've got Ingram. They've got Galladay. They've got, you know, Rudolph there is a veteran presence. Saquon out of the backfield is a mismatch that isn't even being utilized yet. Like, I just think, and by the way, Russell's ability to take off and run from time to time, and even though we said that about Daniel Jones, the problem is fumbling.
Yeah,
that dude, I mean, remember his rookie season? He fumbled 19 times. And some of those are sack fumbles, but even when he takes off, last year he fumbled 10 times. This year so far he's played, he started 10 games, he's fumbled 7 times.
LeVar, if you're playing Daniel Jones as a defender and you know he fumbles the ball that much, do you even bother trying to tackle him, or are you just going after the football
time? It's both. I remember one day when Palmer came in, and I had like a, what is that called when you burst a sack on your knee or something?
Yeah,
like
burst a sack.
And it just keeps swelling up or whatever.
Yeah.
I said, man, if y'all don't tape this thing up, like pressure that thing, like almost tourniquet style, like I got to get back out there.
Why?
Because there were sacks on the table. There was a whole bunch of sardines. You saw sharks, whales, birds, everything was eaten. I got to get back out there. I was out there with half a leg, man.
That's
bro,
so
he had 31 turnovers his rookie year.
Jeez.
He had 20 man. The next year. He's got 14 so far this year.
Well, whatever it is for Russ, I'll tell you this. It ain't good for Daniel.
No.
It ain't good. Whatever it is that the next result is and whoever it is, the one thing I can say that we're probably sure on and safe on is it ain't Daniel Jones.
Well, look, I mean, he's now got the label Coach Killer.
Ooh.
Like seriously.
Easy.
I'm just saying, like, think about it. Like, multiple coaches. Now your OC gets clipped after a Monday night game. I mean, after an inexplicable interception there in that game. What was Steve McClendon who got an intercept? Like, it just, like, it feels like that's where we're at with him. So,
Coach Killer.
Russ in New York, man.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
You're so like.
Time for y'all to come up to the Empire State Building. Yeah.
You're just so
is it even called that anymore? Did they change the name of the Empire State?
Is it called the Empire State?
I don't know. Everything's changed.
I'm sorry, man. I have a hard time concentrate with Sierra in my ear. Just a little weird there.
Well, why is that?
I don't know.
You want to just play it off by saying now it's a little weird now, huh?
Okay.
It's still called the Empire State. What am I thinking of? The Sears Tower?
Yeah, it's now called
that one changed.
The Willis Chicago Tower. Right?
Whatever. It's Sears. It's no different. Yeah. It's no different than the Staples Center. It's Staples. It's not crypto.
I agree.
Pay as much money as you want. Okay?
I agree,
we're
man.
Calling the Staples Center.
And by the way, before Amazon, for all you youngins out there, it was called the Sears Catalog. Okay, back in the day, that's how it was done. Just want to let you know.
What about Spiegel's? You remember Spiegel's?
No.
No. Mm. And LeVar, do you know the problem with Jonas was
here we go.
Those Sears catalogs, the page is always stuck together.
There it is. There's
always some sort of sticky
substance.
The face
substance. Of big new
saying.
Kickoff, folks. Look at that. Classy guy through and through.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Jonas.
Was that
Sears
Kmart?
Catalog, good housekeeping.
Was it Sears that had the uniforms with the plastic helmets and the jerseys
of
your
hutch.
Favorite team?
Yeah. The hutch. Yeah.
That was Sears?
Yeah.
Every time during Christmas, you'd be like, this is the one I want.
And you never got it.
Oh, no, I got it.
I never got it.
I got my Bernie Coast.
And then we would go out front in the yard and play free for all. You got to call it free for all because
came with a flask. Though,
yeah, I was going to say
because what they used to call it back in the day, you know, you can't call it that anymore.
Yeah,
you know, you throw the ball up, you catch the ball, and you start running. It was called smear.
Brady's Bernie Kozar came with a beer bong, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that is hilarious. With a cup holder, you know. Two cup holders on the side of the
helmet. And a carton of smokes.
Oh, okay.
All right, it is two pros and a cup of Joe.
Tripped
here.
All the way out.
If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Coming up next, we have some staying put in the world of football and what it means to the entire landscape. We'll get into that for you next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up later on this hour, we are going to have another edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly here on Fox Sports Radio. You know, there's one team that could be vying for the bad and the ugly in the world of sports from the week that was. So we'll see who gets to it first here.
You're being kind of ugly this morning, man. I'll
how?
Put it that way. Yeah.
What
just
did I do?
Ratcheting on Daniel Jones like that?
I'm saying he's getting the reputation of a coach killer.
You're the one giving him that reputation.
Because I'm the one fumbling the football that much?
I'm just saying.
Listen,
I'm just saying.
Look,
rumor is you're the one giving him that reputation.
Hey, I like Daniel Jones, all right? I feel
oh,
I was
that
the
sure
one,
sounds
hey,
like
I
it.
I was the one defending him. I was the one defending
Thank
him.
You, LeVar.
Hey,
yeah.
I was the one defending him when his legs gave out on that long touchdown run that he was trying to pick up.
How'd you defend him? What'd you say?
I said, you know, 99% of people that were mocking him on social media, their legs would have given out 40 yards earlier. Said that on the air. That's a
That's
fact.
A big compliment. Yeah, I take everything I just said
okay,
back.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
I take everything I just said
Listen,
back.
Listen, I appreciate it,
great,
man.
Yeah. Great job.
Yeah.
Great job, Jonas.
LeVar, you look toasty today. You look like nice and warm.
I'm warm.
Yeah, you are.
Because it's the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, I pulled out my holiday Uggs.
Yeah.
You
so,
know?
I was going to point out the lie because you said all you wear is flip-flops, yet he comes in with a $5,000 pair of Uggs.
But here's what you got to understand. I have no socks on. That's the thing.
You have one on.
Well, you never wear socks.
What is wrong with Jonas Knox?
You really need help, man. You have one on.
you really need some help.
I don't understand what you're getting at.
I feel like he's making it awkward.
I don't.
Yeah, he did.
He
definitely did. Because then I pulled it out and I'm looking at it and he's saying like, sock and all
understand.
This stuff and it's like
I don't know.
I felt
know.
Very awkward.
It's not what
for
I
anything
meant.
That I had to say.
It's not what I meant.
I'm just trying to get it in.
Yeah, it is.
Come on, Jonas.
Hey, by the way, we had a remember when we had an Uggs day on was it Uggs or Sperry's on the Sunday night show, Brady? We did one day where we all wore Uggs.
It's never been Uggs. It's Sperry's.
Pretty sure it was Uggs.
Yeah, it was Sperry's.
Yeah, well, listen, pretty sure it was
Bro, Uggs. It was Sperry's, all I mean, right? Lee will attest to this because he has a pair of Sperry's topsiders. We talked about this at length. It was Sperry's.
Lee's back there shaking his head.
Yeah, Lee wants no part of this conversation.
I don't even have Uggs, so I don't know how it was an Uggs day.
That's a lie.
It's 100% not a lie.
Okay.
I do not have Uggs.
Well, I have Tugs. They're Target Uggs.
Oh,
all right,
Jesus.
That's what I got.
Yeah. That's all you're
looking for these days, Jonas, is just some Tugs.
This is
hard to find.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Let that
I know my feet are nice and
I almost went there. I did not, though.
Yeah, no, you've already gone there. You've already taken us
you guys are
beyond the line.
I'm touching it right now.
That is taken out of context yet again. I'm tired of being taken
I just
out of
know
context
my feet are
show.
Nice and cozy and comfortable.
Solid.
Even though they're not in flip-flops.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen me without flip-flops on? Honestly.
This is the only time.
In studio?
Yeah, it's the only time.
Yeah, there you go.
See you.
How about it?
All right. By the way, we are brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Coming up in 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we are going to have another edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. We'll get to that here on Fox Sports Radio for you every single Wednesday. It is a tradition on this show. How about James Franklin, LeVar, 10-year extension with Penn State. We are Penn State. Fire up the fight song. The Nittany Lions. I get fired up about it. The Nittany Lions keep their guys. So USC, you can go away. All the other rumors that were out there.
Yeah.
You can go away.
Da, da, da.
It is happy in Happy Valley, LeVar. Your guy, James Franklin, sticking around.
There are a lot of people that aren't happy about the decision.
Why?
Like, we're stuck with James for 10 years. Listen, let me put something out there and put it in perspective to all of the – well, you know, I'm part of all of the chats. Everything Penn State, I'm part of it. So I see them. I see everything that's being said. You know, a lot of people are basing what they're feeling off of what Joe was able to achieve and accomplish as a head coach. And for some strange reason, people are still trying to grasp Penn State moving on from Coach Paterno. And I would offer people this, right? And I lived this. When I came out of college or came out of high school, we had already had two or three top 10, top 15 recruiting classes that had came to Penn State. Ours was like the number one, number two recruiting class in the country that year. After us, there was a number of top five recruiting class. We won absolutely nothing. Think about this, right? You had a historical moment in our school where we were so good that we had a guy go number one and number two overall in the draft. Think about this now. number one and number two overall in the draft. And we didn't even play. We didn't even play in the conference championship game. Like in terms of, they didn't have a championship game. They had, if you won the Big Ten, you played in the Rose Bowl. Never did I play in a Rose Bowl. My time there. Joe didn't win very much at a certain point in his career. And at one point, I think with Mike Robb and Puz and Connor and those guys, they beat Florida State in the Orange Bowl. And that was like the most crowning moment at the end of his career. But for the most part, we always dropped. We always lost to Michigan. Or we would always lose to Michigan State. We would always let our season get away from us, no matter how talented our team was. The point I'm making is that for people to sit there and be up in arms and have this idea that Franklin can't coach, but he can recruit is absurd. The idea of where our school is right now is it's trending in the right direction. And if you look at where we were, because I think some people have very, very short memories as it applies to who we are, what we represent as a community. I think we get a short memory because now we've won a Big Ten. Oh, which, by the way, that was James Franklin. That was our head coach when we won that Big Ten championship after seemingly as close as you get to a death penalty for a program as it gets. O'Brien gets the hell out of the way. Because he did not want to deal with the blowback, the residual, you know, effects of what took place with the whole scandal. And then moving forward, you get a guy that comes in and he has to basically build a program as a head coach from scratch. I don't know how many coaches, honestly, would have been able to come into the scenario that James Franklin came into and turn a team around in the time and the amount of time that he did with everything that was all of the moving parts, the lack of scholarships, the lack of money, the lack of resources, because all of the money was being paid out in penalties. And for people to actually have the audacity to be upset that James Franklin was extended a 10-year deal, we have to deal with this for 10 more years. Let me tell you something. He has amassed some of the best recruiting classes, one of the best young stars in the National Football League. In fact, maybe one and two as rookies in the National Football League are from Penn State. You know, we have consistently, since he's been there, been putting into the league quality professional football players. James Franklin is on the right track. We are one quarterback away. I like our OC. If we would have been able to keep Moorhead in place, just say for the sake of saying we were able to hold Moorhead and Pride together, I believe we would have been in the playoff consistently by now. So when you're trying to figure out what the right scenario is, what the right recipe is to be a consistent winner, especially in the Big Ten, like how Ohio State has achieved that, it takes time. It takes time to develop that. And I think that this was the right decision. I thought it was the right move. I was super excited about it. I'm sure I'll speak to him. He told me, he hit me up literally days before this happened, and he didn't say anything, but he said, we'll talk soon. And I didn't know that that's what I thought he was leaving. And let me tell you something. So on the other side of that, if he leaves, let me explain to you guys that want to be uneducated ignoramuses about understanding how this all works. If James Franklin leaves Penn State, all those five-star, four-star guys that are there right now playing for Penn State are all transfer portal guys that are going with him. All of the five-star, four-star, three-star guys that are slated to come and play for Penn State are all going to decommit and go to where James Franklin is going or their next choices that were on the list of places they were going to go. In essence, rendering Penn State a wounded, sitting duck in the water with absolutely no type of defense whatsoever to protect itself or take a step forward. It actually would take our program so far back if we lost James Franklin in so many different ways that, to me, you got to be careful for the things that you wish for. And that's my take on it. That's my take. And being as close to the situation as I've been for as many years as I've been connected to it, I think it was the right decision. It was the right move. And I'm happy that Sandy Barber and those guys made the right decision to not allow for him to be taken away by another team.
Yeah, I mean, I think people oftentimes, they don't appreciate what they have until it's gone. And that most likely would have been what would happen in the aftermath of James Franklin if he was to move on. Now, I don't know if I was talking to Jonas about this or maybe mentioned something to LeVar, but I heard weeks ago USC wasn't looking at him. Now, I don't know if he used that as a leverage point, but they had basically said we're kind of moving in a different direction with who we're looking at. There are some other jobs that came open. His name was circulated as part of maybe that wide net that's usually cast when you get an LSU, for example, that comes open, or maybe even now that a Florida job has come open, even though from what I was told a few weeks ago, this has been in the works for a while. Look, it's a 10-year deal, similar in nature to what Mel Tucker got, who is obviously trying to rebuild that program, even though the interesting thing is, you know, you see what happened last weekend versus Ohio State. I think Penn State's going to do that to Michigan State this weekend. So it's only going to make the timing of that deal look a little worse. But in this case, I mean, look, James Franklin brought stability to Penn State at a time where who knows which direction it was going to go after Bill O'Brien left, and obviously off the aftermath of everything that happened with Jerry Sandusky, or what had come out off the field. He's brought in stability to it. I think if you really want to be honest with yourselves, we got the game this weekend, right? Ohio State, Michigan. Michigan has not been the competitor to Ohio State in the Big Ten East. It's been Penn State. If you go ask like who they are competing against year in, year out recruiting, it's Penn State. Like, Penn State's the one that's been on the cusp of really knocking them off. And if you're comparing Penn State to Michigan, look, James Franklin's won a Big Ten championship.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan hasn't with Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're looking at really, and you're being honest with yourself, James Franklin's done a hell of a job there. So I'm with you. I think it would have been a mistake had – I'll put it two ways. It might have been a mistake if he left that situation to go somewhere else, because I think they're close.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, for people who are like frustrated with, oh, it's $10 million or 10 years, $8.5 million or whatever, it's been reported in that ballpark. That's the reality of what these coaches are getting. You either got to ante up or you can't be a part of this process, because the Big Ten media rights deal is coming up. It's going to leapfrog as far as what these universities are going to be getting, what these coaches are going to be asking for, and you need longevity. You need all these recruits, something that has really become the lifeblood of college football, to be able to believe that this guy's going to be here for my career and even after that. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're getting with a 10-year deal. So, look, I'm glad he's not going anywhere. I think he's a good coach. I think he's good for Penn State. But it does beg the question now, who the hell is going to fill all these voids? There's so many jobs open. I mean, you got big-time jobs. You know, USC and Florida and LSU, just to name a few. TCU's still open. There might be more coming open. I mean, there's so many jobs open, and it does beg the question, like, who the hell is filling these vacancies? Mm.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox.
We are, baby.
Coming up next here, we are going to have the good, the bad, and the ugly in the world of sports. It's yours right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, You knew what you were doing there, Berto. You naughty guy, you. You knew what you were doing. You knew you were going to wake me up to this one. You knew. Okay, so you're out. So you had to get this one in there.
Yeah.
I know. And here we go. Get it, Jonas. Yeah. Rainstorms, take me away from the norm. Yeah. I've got to tell you something.
What are you doing, Jonas? Sit down.
He's playing that air bass. He's
playing bass.
This phenomenon.
In your face.
I had to put it in a song.
I'm still waiting for it to shuffle.
Come on, Brady. Come on. Here we go.
Whoa.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
Come on.
It's the color of your energy. Come on, Brady. Here we go.
I'm not doing it by myself.
Whoa.
Y'all hung me out to dry. I was supposed to be backup vocals. So I ended up being lead vocals.
Yeah, it's too bad.
It was good.
It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio.
You were playing the hell out of that guitar.
Hey, man, I can play every instrument.
Somebody get some paper towel, Lee. Let's get
Brady,
some paper towel.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm not saying what I'm saying.
Play every type of
instrument. Trust me. Well, he likes to play the rusty trombone.
Oh, okay.
He is unbelievable. And again, the face of Big Dude Kickoff, folks.
No,
you'll see him. You'll see him in a Wendy's commercial, Peloton.
Not saying that on live radio.
Rusty trombone.
Lee's trying to get me to talk about your flute. That's what he wants.
Well, more so like a piccolo. He's like a piccolo player.
Yeah. All right. So we are coming up in about 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. We are going to have a situation in the NFL. There's a grain of rice.
Gets smaller and smaller with every instrument.
There's a
kazoo.
I wish. There's a situation in the NFL that continues to take another turn and another turn every single day, but it could get really, really bad here over the next 24 hours. We'll have that for you. But right now, it's time for something we do on the show every single week, and it's called this.
There are some good things that happen, and there's some bad, and then there's some downright ugly things. It's time for Good, Bad, and Ugly.
And away we go. Lead a lap. You quarterback this thing. Who's got what? Who's going first?
Well, I know we're all celebrating the holiday week, but for LeVar, what is the most good on this holiday week for you?
Oh, I mean, come on. This is an easy one. Super easy. Dickie V, man. Returned back to the court.
He sounded great, by the way.
I'll tell you what. Got emotional, shed tears, had a great call. And I mean, wow. Battling months of dealing with cancer. Good for him. God bless. And, you know, one of the things that is not only good about college sports and life, it's great when you have a figurehead like Dickie V be able to make it back and us to be able to enjoy his voice. You know, like sometimes you just don't know when it
is,
what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy hearing him as many times as he can get it out there.
Fittingly, I got to ask Jonas, what is the bad on a holiday week?
Well, it could also be UCLA could be the bad with that bag of crap they rolled out against Gonzaga last night. We were supposed to, number one versus two. Instead, UCLA went number two. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call the bad for what it is, the Dolphins-Jets game on Sunday. So on DirecTV, when you watch the game mix, you get like eight little screens on. And I like to watch that one so you can see all the games at one time. Which game do you think was the odd man out, the ninth game that wasn't featured? It was the Dolphins and Jets. Back in the day, it used to be which game was going to be the one game that wasn't in HD. This is the newer version, the 2021 version of that. That's how bad that game was. It wasn't even included in the game mix on DirecTV. Dolphins, Jets, get out of my face.
Wow.
On the holiday week, what could possibly be ugly? Brady, what's ugly this week?
Well, I'll put it this much. Probably the aftermath from when Jonas, who doesn't like to eat much food throughout the course of a day or the week, just absolutely dives in to Thanksgiving, double fisting whatever the meal ends up being, and the aftermath of what comes out of him after that.
Vegetarian turkey, I hear, is on the menu.
Yeah. Turducken.
Vegetarian turkey.
I mean, look, it was Ohio State making it look ugly versus Michigan State in the first half, and then
horrible.
Add insult to injury when you get Mel Tucker, who signs that deal, I think the ink was dry, on a 10-year, $9.5 million per year deal.
Ugly.
And you get absolutely absolutely mollywopped. All right, Ohio State took a battle axe to Michigan State. Over in the first half. It was ugly. Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
By the way, did Charleston Southern put up more of a fight against Georgia than Michigan State did against Ohio State? I think they did.
I think they did.
Was it 49-0 at halftime? That is unbelievable, man. Like, see, if you're Michigan State and you see how these two games are going to go, do you just sort of wear it and say, don't worry about it, it means nothing? I mean, right after the guy signs a deal, you're going to get smoked like that two games in a row?
How about this? How about all the nerds who are complaining about where Michigan was ranked in conjunction with Michigan State and all that? Like, I was like, it doesn't really make sense. But, like, literally bickering and complaining. And the committee was like, we just feel like Michigan's more the complete team. I promise you this. This weekend's the game, Michigan-Ohio State. It's not going to look like Michigan-Ohio State, all right? They're not going to get blown out like that. They were justified. Now all those nerds have to eat their words of hammering the committee.
Yeah, take that, geeks.
Nerds.
Going to the holiday weekend, you dweebs.
Nerds.
Losers.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.